2012. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the Epistle to the Ephesians in your New Testament? I'm going to read this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. I'm going to speak on the subject of prayer this morning, specifically on the subject of prayer in the Spirit. What I'm going to say this morning about prayer in the Spirit is that we all need to pray in the Spirit. And what it looks like to pray in the Spirit is to talk to God about walking into this world with Jesus and wearing the armor that only Jesus can give us. That is what prayer in the Spirit is. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, the Apostle Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord." I'm so glad that doesn't just say, "Be strong." I don't know what I would do with a Bible that I opened. It simply said, "Be strong, Barry." It does not say, "Be strong." It says, "Be strong in the Lord." And I am so very grateful for that phrase. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I hope just the reading of God's Word this morning will be a tremendous encouragement and blessing to you. In the strength of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. More about that in a moment. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness. How's that for a worldview for you? Over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. There's the reference in my text to praying in the Spirit. Pray all times, Paul says, in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This is God's word. Let's pray together. A gracious and merciful God, thank you that there is a throne in heaven and that it is an occupied throne. Thank you that you can accomplish and will accomplish all that is in your will to do. And thank you that you are holy in your goodness and your righteousness in all things, and that your will towards us is merciful and gracious. Help us in this coming year, 2012, to be people who learn to persevere. To persevere through prayer, persevere through the gospel, and may we know how to put the gospel armor on through prayer, praying in the Spirit. And it's for the sake of our souls and the sake of your glory that we pray. Amen. I'm going to speak on the subject of prayer in the spirit this morning and gospel armor, but you will have noticed in my text that it talks about the devil. And that the whole context of the passage of putting gospel armor on has to do with withstanding. Withstanding in a day that is evil, and withstanding in a day where there is a darkness in this present world in which we live. And I'm not going to talk a lot about the devil this morning, but I am going to say this, that we need to know that the Bible speaks of him, and that we face opposition from him. And I don't know about you, but one of the most helpful places in all of the Bible that helps me understand what I need to know about the devil is from Revelation chapter 12. Listen to these words from Revelation chapter 12. It says, "Rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them." And this is rejoice because this devil has been thrown down. That the woman's given birth to a son, and that son has been victorious and been lifted up to heaven, and the son being lifted up to heaven, speaking of the ascension of Christ, that the devil is cast down, and it says to the heavens, "Rejoice." But then it says this, it says, "But woe to you on the earth, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath." The devil has come down to you in great wrath. Why? Because he knows that his time is short, John says in Revelation chapter 12. He knows that his time is short. In other words, if every person on the face of the earth were this year in 2012 to forget or were cease to believe that Jesus is coming again, there would always be one presence in the world that knows for sure and will never forget that Jesus is coming again. And that person is the devil. And he's angry because he knows that his time is short. But we won't forget, and God won't allow his people to forget because of the grace that we sang about tonight. What a fantastic song. "The grace that taught my heart to fear." I certainly would forget without grace. This is something else that comes from Revelation chapter 12, telling us what the devil's all about. Not only does he know that his time is short, but it says that the dragon became furious and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, that is, the church, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. In other words, if you don't want to have anything to do with the devil, it's really easy. All you have to do is stop worrying about the commandments of God and the will of God. You say, I don't want anything to do with the devil. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't want anything to do with that. That's how you do it. You just say, "I don't want anything to do with the commandments of God." But if by the grace of God, something that God has spoken to us to help us, to shine light as it was prayed here this morning, to give light on our path, then we have something to do with the devil because he's made war on such things. And all of that to say this, that the Apostle Paul, in talking about prayer, puts that in this context of the fact that we live in this present darkness. And so I'm going to emphasize prayer this morning as I try to in my own place of pastoring, the necessity of praying, and in this particular passage, prayer in the Spirit. And ask, as I think I've even asked this before and probably preached on prayer here before in a New Year's message, a penetrating question. I find it penetrating anyway. Do you pray? Let's begin there. Do you pray? And it's a very specific question. I don't ask, do you believe in prayer? I hope you say yes. I don't ask if you think prayer is a good thing. I'm sure you would say yes. I would say yes to both of those things. But this is a different question entirely. Do you pray? It's like when you go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't say, "Do you believe in food? Do you believe in eating? Do you believe in breathing? Do you think those are good things?" He says, "No." He says, "Are you eating?" Maybe this time of the year, the exercises are more relevant. How many of you are determined next week or maybe the week after, you're going to start exercising, right? Because you believe in exercise. You believe that exercise is a good thing. But you know that it's an entirely different question. Do you exercise? And it's the same thing with prayer. Prayer is the exercise of the soul. And prayer is the discipline of the soul that exercises perseverance in this world where we need to wear gospel armor because we live in present darkness. You know what? We talk a lot about evangelism in our day and age, and rightly so. Okay? Don't say, oh, that pastor doesn't believe in evangelism. Please don't tell your pastor that. I do believe in evangelism, but I think that we have emphasized evangelism to the eclipse of something that is just as important, and it's perseverance. I'm no sociologist, but if you look at the history of the church in North America and in Canada in particular, it's not so much evangelism that we're bad at, it's perseverance that we're bad at. How many people do you know that used to go to church? Or their parents took them, or their grandparents went. If we just keep our children over the last 30 years, the church would be massive in Canada. And prayer is an important part of perseverance. Let me remind you of the very most simple definition of prayer, okay? I don't want to insult you this morning by being so very, very simple, but I find it helpful. Like back to the basics. Okay, what is prayer? Prayer, in its most simple meaning, in the language that anybody can understand, this is what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God about living in His world. That's what prayer is. It's the exercise of the soul where we acknowledge that we're not living in the world that our own hands have made. We're living in a world that is made by God, but yet it's the world in which we are called to live. And we talk to God about living in the world that he has made. That is the most simple definition of prayer. And it involves both things. You have to have both those things. You have to not just talk about our lives, but realize who we're talking to. Talking to God. Understanding of who He is. Talking to God about living in His world. And if you examine all the prayers of the Bible, they all have that in common. Of course, they're all addressed to God. And they all have to do with living in God's world. Now, this phrase that the Apostle Paul uses, pray in the Spirit, adds an extra dimension to that definition of prayer. It's a gospel dimension. It's not just a God dimension, it's because God is one who has given us the gospel. It's not enough to talk about God. You have to talk about the gospel that God has given. And so the gospel adds this dimension to prayer. And prayer in the Spirit means to talk to God about living in this world with Jesus. That is prayer in the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, we don't have Jesus. We know that Jesus came to earth and He walked around and He healed a lot of people of their blindness and of their hearing and of their lameness. And all Christians still need that today if they're going to walk in God's world, knowing God. We need to be healed of our blindness, of our deafness, and our lameness. And that is what the Spirit does, is help us by awakening us, healing us, and enabling us to see and believe what Jesus has done for us. That's prayer in the Spirit. Talking to God about living in this world with Jesus. So the notion of prayer in the Spirit isn't something that should divide us. I don't know what your background is. You're in a Baptist church now, but it's something that historically, maybe Baptists aren't known for prayer in the Spirit. Say, well, no, I don't do that. That sounds strange. Well, it's not something that is only for some Christians to pray in the Spirit. It's for us too. But But when we say we pray in the Spirit, this is what we mean. I think this is what we should mean, according to the Apostle Paul. Praying in the Spirit is talking to God about living in this world with Jesus. And that's what it means to be strong in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul says. Be strong in the Lord and having thoughts about Christ. And this list of armor that the Apostle Paul gives, I'm going to call gospel armor this morning. Because it's only in the Lord. It's only by having thoughts about Christ through the Spirit that God gives us that we can ever put this armor on. I was in a nursing home a few weeks ago visiting one of our parishioners. She's 92. And she is not able to leave the building in which she lives. And so I go over and visit her once in a while. There's a gospel service that is in her facility once a month where a local minister goes in who's also a good friend of mine. And so I go and I just sit with her. Encourage her to go. And I just sit with her through the service and take communion with her just to try to be an encouragement to her. And a few weeks ago we sing great old hymns. And I enjoy being there. We were singing the hymn called Stand Up for Jesus. You probably know it, most of you. Stand up for Jesus, you know. And I was struck by one of the verses that says this. It says, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Put on the gospel armor. Put on the gospel armor. Put on each piece with prayer. And I thought, yeah. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. And we read this passage and we know about this armor and talk about it, like, yeah, we're going into war and battle and all that stuff. But really, Paul emphasizes that it's prayer in the Spirit. That praying in the Spirit means to put on each piece of this gospel armor through prayer as it relates to Jesus and living in this world. So I like that. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Because it reminds me that I need to wear gospel armor. And it's only armor that can be found by trusting in Jesus. And it reminds me that I'm not wearing it except through prayer. And that is prayer in the Spirit. Talking to God about living in this world with Jesus by putting on the gospel armor that only Jesus can give me. Only the gospel can give me. So I'm going to remind you this morning of four pieces of this gospel armor and encourage you to put on each one through prayer, which I am adamant about is prayer in the Spirit. And if you feel like you don't know how to pray, if you would say, well, yeah, I believe in prayer, but no, I don't pray, but I feel like I don't know how to pray, then this is a way for you to think about how to pray. Talk to God about living in His world by putting on this armor. The first one is the gospel of truth. Christians need to live every day with the truth. That's what prayer is for. Prayer is to talk to God about our need for truth. The belt of truth, the apostle says. Put it on. And here is how to pray. Here is how to put on the belt of truth through prayer. To pray this simple prayer. Dear God, help me to see you and everything in this world the way that it really is. That's truth, right? Lord, help me to see you and everything in this world the way that it really is. In other words, help me to know what really corresponds to reality. Help me not to live with any illusions. Help me not to have any lenses on that are wrong. Help me to live according to the truth. Help me to see you the way that you really are. Help me to see the world around me the way that it really is. That's how you pray. Dear God, help me to see everything, yourself and your world, the way that it really is. And you know, there is an alternative in this, living in this world, to wearing that armor. And that is the alternative that the devil wants to have for us. The devil would have us walk in darkness. He makes war upon us. That we would not walk according to the truth. That we would not walk seeing things the way that they really are. Particularly the way God really is. The devil does not want you to see God the way that he really is. The devil would like you to see God the way that you imagine him. I would love to have a God of my imagination, but you know what? That God doesn't correspond to reality. And the devil doesn't mind if I believe in a God that doesn't correspond to reality. The belt of truth. Also, the devil does not want me to see the world as the place that God has made. You know, the technical term for that is worldview. A lot of people talk about worldview today, that's a common phrase now, and it's very significant. To grasp, this is what corresponds to reality. The world in which I live is the world that God has made. And the devil doesn't want us to see that. He wants us to think that the world is our playground. As a place for us to play and live for ourselves. But that doesn't correspond to reality. The world is not our playground. That's not the truth. So, prayer in the Spirit. Put on the belt of truth. Lord, dear God, help me to see you and the world around me the way that it really is. The breastplate of righteousness, Paul says. Put it on. Put it on through prayer. This breastplate, according to the Old Testament, is something that the Messiah himself wore. Isaiah 59, verse 17 says that the Messiah put on righteousness as a breastplate. So we know right now, right there, what the breastplate is all about. It's all about possessing righteousness. This is what it does. The breastplate of righteousness protects us from the power of sin. And the Old Testament says that the Messiah put on righteousness as a breastplate because he could put on righteousness through his own strength, through his own power. He could put on righteousness. And sin, the power of sin, could not touch him. He was righteous. But we're not like that. We put on this piece of armor, not through our own strength as the Messiah did. We put it on through prayer. And this is how to pray. This is how to put the breastplate of righteousness on through prayer. This is how to put that armor on in prayer. Dear God, please keep me safe from sin. That is, through prayer, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Dear God, please keep me safe from sin. And only Jesus Christ can give you that breastplate of righteousness. We cannot fashion it ourselves. Only Christ can protect us. That's why we worship Christ. The devil uses sin to do two things. This is why we need to wear the breastplate of righteousness. We need to pray, dear God, keep me safe from the power of sin. Because the devil does two things to make sin powerful. Number one, is he does to accuse us. To accuse us of our guilt And the second thing that the devil does is to tempt us with sin, to tempt us to disobey. Dear God, please keep me safe from sin. That is gospel armor. That is prayer in the Spirit. Only Jesus can keep us safe from the guilt of sin by trusting in the sacrifice of His body and blood, for He gives us His righteousness. And only Jesus can be our shepherd. As the book of Hebrews, the last chapter, says God has given Christ as our great shepherd to equip us in order to do God's will. Jesus is our great shepherd to keep us from the power of sin, to tempt us, and to disobey God. Dear God, please keep me safe from sin. Shoes is the third one. Shoes that bring peace, Paul says. We need to be able to bring peace and not division everywhere that we go. The gospel is something that reconciles people. The gospel is something that reconciles relationships instead of dividing. And we need that gospel armor. We need the gospel armor of peace in order to have peace with God and peace with every person in our lives. And so this is how to put that armor on. This is how to tie those shoes on. This is how to pray in the Spirit. Dear God, please give me peace. Please give me peace with you and others. I don't know about you, but that's a significant prayer for me. Because it's not normal. Peace is not my default, either with God or with other people. The division is my default. And this is significant gospel armor. Oh, merciful, gracious God, please give me peace. Peace that only comes from the gospel. It is so easy to live with conflict in our lives. Conflict with God. Wrestling with God's will. We know what God's will is, but we wrestle with it. And not only that, but with other people in our lives. And of course, the path to that peace is through humility and repentance. It's the opposite of pride. And that's not what the devil wants. That's why we have to wear the armor and put that armor on through prayer. Dear God, please give me peace. You know how constantly in your lives through this year you will face the temptation for conflict and division with people, with the things that come out of your mouth, with the thoughts that go through your head. And how the Church of Jesus Christ needs the gospel armor that only Jesus Christ can give. Dear God, please give us peace. Make us humble with one another. Make us repentant before you. Give us that kind of peace that the gospel brings. The gospel is all about peace. Did you see that YouTube video? Actually, I saw it on the BBC podcast a couple nights ago about the priests fighting in Bethlehem. It literally made me laugh out loud. I thought, what? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. It showed the Bethlehem, one of the traditional sites religious sites in Bethlehem, where the priests were fighting with brooms with one another. They were mad at one another. They were throwing furniture at one another. It was just sadly comical. But we need to remember that the gospel is all about peace. And I don't mean the kind of pragmatic peace that just ignores truth or anything like that. But the kind of peace that comes from repenting of our pride. The devil doesn't want us to wear that armor. He wants us to be proud. He wants us to face each new day with conflict and division. The final one I will mention this morning is the helmet of salvation. We need to know that Christ has finished all things necessary for our salvation. This piece of gospel armor keeps us. The helmet of salvation, it keeps us from losing perspective. It keeps us from putting our love and our trust, our confidence in anything else other than the grace of God and the salvation that is earned for us by Christ. I saw that your pastor's sermon title at the North Delta Baptist this morning was Keeping Things in Perspective. Wow, what a great message. I wish I could hear it, and I'm sure you've probably already heard it. But there's nothing that can keep things in perspective better than salvation itself. The helmet of salvation. And this is how to pray. This is how to put that piece of armor on through prayer. The helmet of salvation. Dear God. Dear God, please help me to stand in awe of you. Help me to stand in awe of your love and of your grace. That is the helmet of salvation. Nowhere is God's love and grace more manifest to us than in his mighty works of salvation. Nothing else helps us keep all things in perspective more than the helmet of salvation. Dear God, please help me to stand in awe of you. To keep all things in perspective. What I mean by all things in perspective, the bad things that happen. Some of you will face discouragement this year, and you'll things that will overwhelm you, and you need to be able to keep perspective. That is the helmet of salvation. Dear God, please help me to stand in awe of you, not in fear of my circumstances, but through the mercy and grace you've shown to me and manifested to me in salvation. Help me to keep that in perspective. But no, it's not just the bad things that have to be kept in perspective. It's the good things as well. It's the wonderful things that happen, and realize that there is nothing as wonderful, as good, as salvation. All of the things that we experience in this earth, no matter how good they are, have to be kept in perspective that they're not as great as salvation. Put that piece of armor on. Dear God, please help me to stand in awe of you. The devil does not want us to do that. He does not want us to stand in awe of God. He wants us to stand in awe of our circumstances. He wants us to stand in awe of money. Or status and many other things. In conclusion, let me say this. The prayer is as necessary for the Christian as air is for the lungs. If you do not know how to pray and you desire to pray, then I would say use the Bible. Use the scriptures. Use the words of the Apostle Paul. And pray in the Spirit by putting on the armor. Putting on gospel armor that only the good news of the gospel can give you. Pray this way. Pray this way simply and earnestly. Dear God, please give me the truth. Please protect me from sin. Please give me peace. Please help me keep things in perspective. For the sake of my own soul and for the sake of your glory. Amen. Pray that way. I encourage you. Let me pray with you now. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit, we pray. Give us your Holy Spirit in order that we might grasp the fullness and the greatness of your Son, Jesus. We pray that all other things in our life in which we would lay hold of as our loves, as our confidences, as our security, all external forms of habits, of religious observation that does not seek the roots of the worship of Christ, we pray that we would lay aside and that you would renew us, and awaken us, and quicken us in our own souls, that we would truly be conscious of your presence in our lives each day through this next year. Help us to pray. Help us to persevere in prayer. Help us to believe that you are coming. Help us to care about your words to us. And we pray that you would be our shepherd and that you would keep us as your sheep. For your own glory, I pray. Amen.